Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, what's up? This is George. Thanks for listening to the Zum Podcast. Today, talking with Carla Bozlich, Evangelista Band, her and Tara Barnes, Dominic Cramp. My buddy Mike Keegan is joining in on the interview, and we get a special phone call in the middle of the interview. First time trying to do more than a one-on-one interview. Lots of different mic levels rolling around with five people, five plus people in this interview. So be aware of that. Really wanting to promote the last two Evangelista shows booked for a while in North America, which are going to be this Friday, July 19th. At the Nightlight, and then August 17th at the Hemlock in San Francisco. Nightlights in Oakland, they're really a little nervous about getting people out there. It's a kind of a small room. It's going to be a weird, intimate experience. I'm going to be out of town, but definitely go if you're in the Bay. They're not planning on doing many more North American shows for the foreseeable future, so good time catching up with Carla and crew, and enjoy. Call out so we can identify voices and names to each other. Okay, I'm George.
This is an awesome table, too.
I'm Dominic.
Carla.
I'm George.
Fucking no.
Come on, be serious. Just serious.
Okay.
Dominic.
That's Tara.
I'm Carla.
George Jr. is Tara.
I'm a George jackass. Jr.
And I asked my buddy Mike Keegan to come along and do the interview with us.
Hi, Mike Keegan.
Hi, Mike Keegan.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Mike Keegan.
Mike, you might need to lean in a little bit more.
It's a pleasure. Hi, Mike Keegan. It's a pleasure to be here.
But why are you here? What do you want to talk about? Plants? What?
Like I don't know much
cutting?
About plants.
What?
Oh, well.
I could tell you're a big cutter.
Yeah. Plants?
I could see that about you right away.
I'm glad someone's finally.
I mean, you're all buttoned up.
No, Mike and I had a conversation about how much he likes your bands. And I told him we were going to do this.
Well, he does have a neck tattoo. Says Evangelista.
You can't see it. Kind of creeps up into his ear a little bit.
I just saw you on two nights ago with Malcolm Mooney, and you guys did that song together that you covered before.
I think it's talking to you there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not visually talking to you.
Carla.
So, I guess it's not a question. It's just a statement that I saw you do that, and it was cool.
Can you say yes
in
a
little
way? Did I spit in your eye? I'm sorry. Try to keep fluids out of your eye. I'm sorry.
I don't know what to say about that, except I was so excited to do it that I was a little bit worried that, I mean, because this is Oakland, but it was at the lab. It was in San Francisco, which is basically Oakland, and
the lab is an annex of Oakland. Yeah. Essentially,
it's an annex. Like, totally there's a like private bridge that goes straight there that doesn't cost $5. And anyways, though, I was really nervous that all the Oakland people would think I was a super dork because I was so excited. I think I even peed a little bit. Like, I was so excited to do it that I didn't know. I honestly didn't know what to do except, like, I was just following the shapes of his mouth, and he was making really giant gesticulations with his mouth that were super easy to follow. So I was like, yes, I know what he's singing about, and I know those words. And I did. I followed along, and we did all right.
You guys didn't rehearse or anything?
We did, but it was nothing at all resembling what we did at the lab. So, yeah, it was great for me.
And so you had,
for me.
You had gotten together with him earlier? Did
the
you
day before, yeah, the day before we did,
with the whole group and stuff. Yeah.
Those guys were neat. Yeah. Are neat. I mean, they're not dead.
It was a tragic accident a day and a half ago. So then you're going to be doing another gig coming up. And that, okay, so I guess we should divide the differences between what you did. You did a thing with Ava the other day and that thing with Malcolm. But then we're talking. Everyone who's not me and Mike is in Evangelista, you guys. Everyone else talking that's not me and Mike is Evangelista. So, yeah, maybe how did you guys all become a band together? Because, yeah.
Whoa.
That's a loaded question.
We weren't prepared for that question,
I feel better.
George.
You weren't prepared for that question?
I thought that was a better question. I started having to scrunch into a small ball, and then I was relieved.
Maybe we should ask them one by one in different rooms. Stories match up.
Reality show confession time.
So, from my perspective, how it happened.
That's hard.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear that. Yeah, I want to hear that one.
Tar, George Jr. Tar.
This will be the first time.
It was like the second or third time I hung out with Carla Bozulich. And,
That was wrong?
I was playing a show in Los Angeles.
Well, each critique the other's answer as it's been
smell.
Given.
Does that still exist?
It's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just played there.
Smell is eternal.
I mean, 2 years ago.
In our minds.
2 years ago.
Hi, Jim, if you're listening.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
It was a day during which I forgot to take my medication. And
I have photos of that.
Carla was like, dude, I got you. I got your back.
And, I got your cuddles right here.
Yeah. And it was a...
That was your old band?
I don't remember the show. The Duchesses,
yeah.
I don't remember the show, but there's cool pictures from it and that Carla took, and we started a band. We started this band called Evangelista, and I went to Canada, and we recorded an album.
But did we do some
we
touring
toured
before
first.
That?
We toured before that, yeah. We did some tours with... Emily Beeshold and Annie Rossi is the band.
And the Dead Science.
And the Dead
just a little,
Science.
Just a little omission there.
No, we went to Europe first with that band.
Oh,
and then
Shazad
we came
was
back.
In our band.
Yeah, and then we came back
Smiley
to the U.S.
Smiley, super famous guy you can't call.
You can't have him.
No.
Yeah, and then we did a U.S. tour with the Dead Science and Annie Rossi and Emily Beeshold, and then... did an album, and then we did some more touring, and then we did another album, and then we did some more touring.
Jesus, that was long.
Wait, yeah. So like that was just you guys weren't just two-piece. That was with Dead Science in the band.
Or that was
that,
after,
was that version.
We've had
right?
more than 50 people in Evangelista.
Damn. Yeah.
So it's like
we get around.
It's a little confusing, and then also it's pretty. Just super,
I guess I'm
super
one of those
fun.
People.
You're one of the
I'm
people.
One of those people.
Exactly.
The guy who
you're
one of 50. One of 50.
Sorry,
real special.
Man, I don't mean
real special.
You're number 47.
Not trying to downplay.
No. That's a crazy like rotating cast to have.
Yeah. The thing is that, well, anyway, it works like that. We talked about it the other day, and it's like, fuck, it works like that. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was going to say is that my memory of it is different than Tara's. That's not really any big surprise. For a number of reasons, not the least of which being that Tara was off her meds. But even before that, when I met Tara Barnes, I went to a gig to the Che Cafe in San Diego to be a guest member of XBXRX.
More than 50 people in that band, I think.
And on the way there, they picked me up in their sailor suits. And they were like, can you wash our sailor suits? Because we've worn them like 75 times without washing them. So I put them in the washing machine with like, just like with one red wool sweater. Uh-huh. I mean.
Oh, you're right. They have pink sailor suits.
And all the sailor suits came out pink. And then, so then.
Weasel Walter in a pink sailor suit.
They looked so good. They looked great.
So then we went. On the way to the Che Cafe, we just, you know, stopped off at the Guitar Center where I bought a bass because I was supposed to play bass. And, you know, Guitar Center lets you return the bass. So we just went there. I bought my bass. Ed, like, was, like, trying to teach me the bass parts, like, in the van while we were driving, which are not as easy as you might think they are in XBXRX. And I did the gig, and I sang and everything, like sang backup vocals and the whole thing. And then fucking Business Lady played, and it was like, it changed my life. Not that I haven't seen punk bands before. Okay, so I saw Business Lady, and I've seen punk bands. Yeah. Bands that dress up. Yeah. Bands that run out in the audience. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know what it was about Business Lady. It just blew my mind. Like, you guys were so tight, and you were so stupid, and you were so fun, and it was just like, I just loved it. And you know, for me, like, punk rock is something that I really miss. Like, I really miss just, like, pure, don't think about it, be an idiot punk rock. And you guys were so tight. So the combination is, you just lit me on fire. And I was like, aah! And then I was super happy. And then I went home. And I talked to you guys. And we sat at a table. And I was like, oh, we're sitting at a table. And
this is Lady Fan number one at AOL.com.
I was such a huge fan at that point. And I was even, like, afraid to talk to you and everything. And we talked. And then I called you on the phone. And I was like, yeah. Because we exchanged, you gave me your phone number, and I called you, and I was like, I'm Carla Bozulik. I really like your band. And you were like, oh, cool, we're playing at blah, blah, blah. Could you bring a bucket of dirt? And so I brought a bucket of dirt to the smell, and you guys wore all white, and you were like, can you just throw it all over us? Can you just throw this dirt, like, all over us so we just look like...
We looked good, too. You did a really good job.
Yeah, so they were all dressed head to toe in white and just, like, fucking covered in disgusting dirt from my yard. And they did their gig, and they were incredible. And then Tara informed me that she was off her meds, and then we just
I think I cried a little bit.
You cried a lot, which I thought was like normal Tara Barnes. I was like, oh, this is like a really tall half Thai person that super rocks and then cries for like 35 minutes all the time. And I was like, I'm cool with that. So I was like hugging you and holding you. And I was like, don't worry. When I go off my meds, I turn psychotic. And we were like, okay. So then we talked, and then we were like, yeah, let's do this thing. But Evangelist was already going, and I already had an album.
You were looking for a band to
tour
to
band
do
and
with.
Just like somebody that was just like a hardcore tour dog that would be down with whatever, because I didn't know what the money would be, and I didn't know. All I knew was we were on Constellation, which is the rulingest record company in the world, and that we would, you know, do our best because we love music. So, and that's all I knew, and Tara was the same, and I was like, all right, we're bros. We improvised Hella Voyager a lot on tour, like different ways, and kind of like, and then when we went in the studio and did it, we asked like 15 other people to just join us and improvise with like guided improvisation. I guided a lot of things so that they could be not just chaos.
It was like a map.
But there was tons of
map of the song.
Yeah, but there was tons of improvisation within the thing, and that's a lot the way Evangelista works in general. So, but it came out to this thing that was just really neato, and it did kind of turn into our manifesto. And if you read, because I know you love to read, if you read the insert, it has like a 5-page version of what I'm saying in the song. It's way longer, and it's like the manifesto of Hella Voyager, and it's really detailed, and it talks about like Sonic Youth is the same as The Simpsons, and like and just like, you know, dying and just like that you should make your death meaningful and all kinds of fun stuff. So it's just, you know, like and that, you know, if people are super into like mediocrity, that you should just kill them immediately because there's too many people anyway. And stuff, just cool stuff, you know, mm-hmm. like just cool, fun stuff. So, it's there's more in there, like because we couldn't do a 72-minute song.
We could, but
it would have to be in two albums, yeah. a double album.
Mm-hmm. What did you? How did you feel, or why did you feel necessary to like have a manifesto? Was it just sort of?
Like, no, it wasn't like that at all. Okay. We just developed Tara and me. We're sort of like a thing where we were playing together and just this like more musical kind of started it. And just we kind of got in this groove with it. And then I just started screaming this stuff. And then I was upset about certain things, particularly the idea of people like blocking themselves from other people and just sort of like roboting through life and then going like to the end of life where there may even be like people that are really tuned in to what's going on, manipulating our lives to a horrible end. And so the thing that I got obsessed with was the idea that that could happen and that there could just be like a small group of people that thought they were like maybe going to a refuge or something where there was a lot of people that survived, but then they realized that there was like 25 of them, and those people decided, fuck it, I'm going to do anything I want. I'm going to be me. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter because I'm going to be dead in 3 days and I'm going to be totally, there will be no meaning to that whatsoever. And I'm not going to hide myself anymore. Why should I? And so that's what it's about. That's all. That's the whole thing is just about like getting to the point where if you are kind of like functioning in this full of shit, bullshit, like trying to like be normal so other people think that you're neat and normal, you know, at some point it's not going to matter. We're all going to fucking kick the bucket, and it's a good idea to try to be yourself at least at that moment. You know what I mean? So that's what it's about.
I feel like I've been kind of turning into that robot. And I've been trying to battling the inner robot and the robot.
We all battle it. It's a constant battle.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, because I sort of feel like I have this weird like immigrant guilt that I don't have like a career and shit like that.
Yeah,
and like
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
doing
yeah.
all this like yeah. weirdo. I'm like, I went from playing noise music to doing stand-up comedy. It's like there's no winning. There's no winning. but like them like. Yeah, but I understand this. Like, I do have this thought every once in a while. I wake up, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to die. Like, I want to just do what I want to do, but without
well,
actually
impeding
anyone.
Do you
want to
do what you
want to
do now?
But how do you
or
survive? You know, like, that's the real question.
Well, I just work a shitty temp job, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's like, how the fuck do you survive? That's the reality of our real world. How do we, okay, great, I'm going to be anybody I want, you know, like,
right.
yeah. I'm going to have one tit hanging out and false eyelashes that come all the way down to the bottom of my neck and, you know, great. But, you know what I mean? And just tell
yeah.
everybody in the whole supermarket to fuck the fuck off. But, like, how are we going to survive?
See,
how
do you this is rent? My how theory about
rent?
Why
yeah.
Burning Man is so huge. Because it's like the release valve on society, right? It's like you have like, I got a week where I can just fucking freak out. And then the rest of the time I go back to my fucking whatever robot
yeah.
life.
Burning
except
Man's
you don't go
very...
back to your life. You keep it going all year long.
Yeah, exactly.
You bring it back to San Francisco.
Yeah. Back and you go to parties.
And I've never been, obviously. And like I talk shit about it a lot. And like
Burning
I
Man's
feel
not
qualified.
For the masses. Burning Man's yeah. for a very well-to-do population of people.
But do you know they even like people like sell the Burning Man experience now for like, I don't know, a couple $1,000s. Like you it's can like have, they'll go, give you like your art car.
It costs the same to like spend the weekend in Hawaii than it does to go to Burning Man. So it's so the cute. Same people that
there's
are
no
going to take
dude.
A vacation.
That's
in
cute.
Hawaii.
I have a really
there's no
great,
money, but you pay a bunch of money to go. Why are we going?
So there has to be some other kind of release valve that's for the average.
I believe that there is a phenomenon happening where there's like a lot of subcultures are now into doing cruises. Like that's been the thing. There's like
Metal
you can go
cruise.
On an alternative comedy cruise. You can go on like a garage rock cruise. You can go on like a Boys to
what
Men cruise.
What if you go on like a Be Yourself cruise?
Yeah,
but
that should be life,
but
man.
It would be awful. Like, who wants to be around a bunch of people?
There's no captain.
Themselves?
There's no captain.
Like, yuck. You
trapped
know?
On a boat. Nowhere to go.
I'm Irving your. I'm Irving your bartender.
It'll just be docked.
Ew.
So you're working on a new record?
Work on a new record?
There's two.
Yeah.
We're working on two new albums. I have a new album that's pretty much done. I made it mostly in Berlin with a really great drummer named Andrea Belfi and our other band member named Jano, who's not here because he's somewhere else. And
he's too important.
Yeah, he's pretty.
He's a pretty important
I don't think
guy.
We can talk about it.
He's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, he's
got some stuff going on that's really important. So.
Yeah, and it's secret.
Yeah.
So
secret.
So
is he making the new Pixar movie?
He's making the new Pixar movie.
It's about him. That's that important.
He's the main Jano. Character.
Jano.
He's the main character, and he's like, huh?
He would be. A
this is like his main line.
Character.
Huh. So, anyway, that album got made, it's pretty, not about how much I hate the world and how much I love sweet people like Mike.
Oh.
It's a lot different than Evangelista record.
I'm sorry, I was
okay.
busy responding to my friend.
Ohio Players fan club.
The Ohio Players.
I was just
to
busy
get the minutes
responding
typed up.
To my friend Hakan from Turkey, who was asking what the American underground people's perspective was on the uprising in Turkey and in the political situation there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just about to write back to him and say,
we have no information.
We're totally making bread here and, like, just roller skating and stuff, and we just don't know anything about. Actually, we didn't even know it was happening, mm-hmm. is the thing.
Sadly.
No.
It's tasty at Thanksgiving.
No, we love you guys. We love you. We don't understand everything. Does it start with the Ottoman Empire or is it before that? Like, what is going on? We don't know. We are a little baby nation. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We're a baby.
Yes, with little concept of history.
Yeah, we need to learn. I think before we can make an educated answer to that, we need to learn. I started to read this morning about things as best I could, and I feel like I've just touched the surface of it. Obviously, we love you, and we want you to be well, and we want your fucking stupid jerk-ass people that are messing with you to, you know, totally go down and to be replaced by people that care about people. That's who we want running the world. People that care about people, and we know it's not just about a park, but at the same time, I've been to that part of Istanbul, and there aren't very many parks, so, I mean, it's not actually nothing to talk about destroying that park. It really actually is important. There are very few parks, so that's all I know right now. We love you. We are behind you, and if there was anything you thought we could do to help, tell us what it is, because we'll try. And now, after that, maybe I could write down some stuff after I read some more.
Hear that, all the Turkish listeners of these podcasts.
Yeah. We are reaching out to you.
Make sure to
the nation
to write directly
nation
back to Carla.
To nation.
I do have a weird, like, I have a listener in Ghana, I think, or a weird guy who just loves downloading stuff.
This
Let
is
me know
nation
whoever you
to
are,
nation
guy
with
in
George
Ghana.
Chen.
Look, I started a podcast to like try to create world peace, you guys.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad. It's not a bad little like subgenre, you know. I mean,
I think anything that creates empathy for people other than yourself is positive.
Yeah,
you get a story of another person's life, and I think that's what's interesting.
Yeah, and everybody's, you know, even if you focus on Evangelista, everybody has a different point of view. Everybody thinks certain different things are important, and that's kind of the situation that I see with politics as being super challenging. Is like, if people want to lead, like, there's a problem almost right there.
It's a weird inclination,
like,
to
just
like
right
think that
there,
you're...
and it's so sad
that
because
you know
that's the beginning,
best.
You know, and it's like. Even in liberal politics, if somebody steps forward and says, I'm going to sort this out, I'm your leader, I'm going to tell you what the thing is, there's potential for real problems, you know? So we're just hoping super, super, like, you know, rock out, space out, like, just roll, you know, best of luck and... These people that are my friends there, I don't know that many people, but they're super big supporters of rock and roll and music and weird stuff and, like, just, like, incredible, generous people that would help any of us if we were there. Like, just because we are, you know, because we support positive things and that we care about people. And there's lots and lots of people like that there. So, yeah. It's confusing. This stuff's going on all over the world, and it's different everywhere, too. Like, the motivations for this thing in Turkey are really, really different, for example, than what's going on in, you know, Syria or whatever. I'm not saying anything everybody doesn't already know. But
Do I remember you sending me an email last year? You were you in Italy? Like, was it a G8 protest or something? Or was it like a riot or something?
Greece.
In Greece. You were in Greece when last year.
Yeah.
When their economy was sort of, like... going in the toilet and whatnot. That's still ongoing. But,
yeah, and I totally like got like gassed and like it's Greece is in really the situation in Greece is quite different because it's extremely like the economic trauma is so severe that it's literally like human life is in danger at every moment, you know. It's not I don't know everything, and I'm not claiming to, but I think it's a little different in Turkey. I think it's a little different focus.
But how did you end up in Greece in that when you were just there when
I had a gig.
Was going on?
I just had a gig, and it was just coincidence.
The day after that was happening, yeah.
But I think the economy
And I had a week that I was there.
Stable.
I was spending a week there because I was like, I have a gig in Greece. Let's spend a week, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just happened to be this kind of gnarly week, and I did a lot of marching. One moment... One of the strange things about it was, like, I started marching with this whole huge group of people that were marching up to the square. And I looked around and I was yelling, like, what they were yelling, which I didn't understand because it was in Greece. In
like,
Greek.
I hope I'm on the right side of this.
It was in Greek. Yeah, and then I was, like, I looked around at the waves, at the flags they were waving and stuff, and I was, like, I don't even know if these guys are liberals. Like, I have no idea
the
what they're yelling
dawn.
About. I didn't even know. And it was the strangest feeling. Like, I felt all this really passionate urge to be helpful. And then I realized they could be anybody. they could be fighting to smash the uprising, you know? And here I am going like, ha, 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 la, 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 you know, like...
Well, that's the thing, yeah, you're only in a town for, like, a week or in a country, and then... And, well, that's sort of been... For the most of last year, were you just around Europe and, like, kind of based, like, loosely in Berlin, or where were you...
No, I was in Berlin enough to get my my residency. I have an artist residency in Europe now, which I needed in order to stay in Europe more than 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
That was really hard to get. and I did all the things I was supposed to do and falsified all the documents I was supposed to falsify, and I got my artist residency. So I have that now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't prefer to stay in Berlin, but that is where I ended mm-hmm. up having to do all this stuff with more, I guess, efficiency or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And you guys mostly now, were, like, you don't really have U.S. tour plans at all, but you seem to have, like, no. a regular thing going with Europe.
Well, one of the bigger things was the van. We lost the van.
Oh.
So was kind of the
professor
biggest.
Professor Krinkle.
I remember the professor. Yeah. I've had some time.
You've been in the professor.
Yeah, you were in the professor when the wheels shot off on the road.
Yeah. I have not told that story on a podcast
before. Oh, my God. Tell it.
So we were coming from Albuquerque.
Seven-year rabbit cycle.
Yeah, wait, you should describe Mr. Professor Krinkle.
Burgundy,
and say who's
Burgundy
in seven-year rabbit
Burgundy
cycle.
Beauty.
Giant Econoline.
Rob Fisk.
Mia. Kelly. Chess Smith.
It was
Stewart,
like a rad band.
Jamie Stewart. It was a fun band. Fun band
Jamie
to be in.
Jamie was in it.
And my other bandmates from KIT, Steve and Christy, their band Warbler.
They were in it too.
Yeah, they were in it too. Yeah, we were all in this car. And Rob was driving, and like we just passed into Arizona from New Mexico, and then just kind of heard like a bumping, and then just get pulled off on the side of the road. And like I didn't know what was going on, and then we just saw the wheel just like roll by, off the axle. Like I didn't know that was a thing, just that would happen. And luckily, no one was hurt. We were totally fine. It just there was no one that would the tow truck would come. And couldn't bring all the, like, nine people back with them. So we all had to go to this rest. We had to walk to a fucking rest stop and then just hitchhike rides back to Gallup, New Mexico. Stayed in a hotel in Gallup, New Mexico, where we were waiting for someone to fix the van. And it ended up being, like, Rob and Jamie, I think, driving back to Albuquerque to get the part that we needed.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, yeah, the van. When did that die? That was, like, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Three.
Yeah, didn't Ava go to rent that van, too?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Let's not talk about it.
Let's not get into details.
Don't talk about
but R.I.P.
Just say R.I.P. the professor.
R.I.P. Prof. Let's not talk about the last van that rented Professor Krinkle,
who the dude
said was like, if they had changed the oil, your van would be fine. Point being, now even if Evangelista wanted to deal with the promoters and the money situation in the United States, we wouldn't have a van. So, mm-hmm. so it's like that. So let's just scooch right along from that. Let's just.
But like Europe is like a you guys have toured so much there and seem to have a lot of like. There's like festivals and stuff to do over
people
there.
People want us to go there.
Yeah.
It's nice to play for people who want to see you. They're not just there to buy drinks.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that much of a split. I mean, I'd say we miss touring the U.S. I mean, it's definitely harder and mm-hmm. it's the money's shitty, but.
And there's no hotel rooms.
There's no hotel rooms.
Dinner.
And it stinks.
I got spoiled.
Yeah. But there's something about it that's kind of magical and awesome, and mm-hmm. it's the best way to see the country, and you meet a lot of really cool people.
I think with me, the fact that I've toured the U.S. like at least, I don't know, 15, 20 times on like 4 to 12 week tours is like. I kind of feel like if you guys don't want to put out at all, like there's certain cities, this city, mm-hmm. New York. I can't really say there's anywhere else, but if
what
you guys
LA?
Don't want to,
like
no,
LA
is like
it's garbage.
It's like a wasteland for me. Like mm-hmm. playing the smell is awesome. And there's probably a couple other places that have developed
that
we don't know
about
yet.
That awesome club in Alabama that we played at.
Oh, the fucking,
that place was the best ever.
Montgomery.
We did that on that shoe tour. Yeah, the silver bottle tree.
Bottle tree.
Yeah, that place is great. Really, really, really
good.
Give you a bucket of clean socks.
Oh, and,
wow.
and you live yeah, in the trailer.
With PlayStation and air conditioning.
Yeah, it's fun to live in the trailer.
Oh, and you guys had to pick up Ezra that day or something like that.
Yeah, that place is amazing.
And Gamble was with us. That was a fun group.
So, FYI, I was in a band that went on tour with these guys.
And we were with Shushu on that tour.
Shushu tour 2008. Yeah, that New York show was great. You guys played with Spencer.
and the other lady, who I don't know,
Spencer, yeah, and then like
Okyeon. Oh, that's right, her too, yeah.
And what's his name was opening Dominic.
That was a
with
crossover.
His noise yeah. thing, yeah. not with yeah. his
that was
like
the tour handover. Like, yeah. We passed the baton.
Yeah.
the Europe thing is just the thing to do right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it'll all change, you know, like.
But that's,
I don't really care at the moment. I just kind of want to.
I would rather tour South America than North America.
Yeah.
Me
at this
too.
Point.
Yay!
I don't. Yeah. I mean, my feeling, only having really done that one time, is that America just seems like just a diminished like return, and like everyone's figured out how to download everything, and like.
Well, not just that, but like
the enthusiasm is.
If you're not big enough,
yeah.
you have to save up money to your own money to tour in the U.S.
Yeah,
I think it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable,
and it's also like the vanishing middle class. There's like a vanishing middle ground for bands.
Yeah,
that
you're
either like
for all artists.
There's nothing in the middle. Yeah, it's all
that's happening.
There's like lots of little places to play that you make no money, and lots of places that pay you shitloads of money if you're huge. And not that much in the middle to kind of support.
There's like no income for anyone to go out.
The biggest difference isn't even if you're looking at Europe or the US. I mean, the money is generally better in Europe, but it's also the, I mean, there's loads of times we'll stay at someone's house. We'll stay at the promoter's mom's house. It'll be a small club. It'll be a squat. We'll play bigger clubs. But
I wouldn't say loads of times.
Not loads.
It seems a bit of an exaggeration.
A few times. Off once in a while. But anyway, the only point is that there's just a level of respect and interest that the club takes in you. Not always, but more often, way more often than
America.
In America, where a lot of time you show up at the club, they don't know who you are. They don't care. It's like a very, it's almost like there's suspicion right away. Like, you can have these shitty drinks, but you don't touch those.
They treat you like you're lucky.
They're doing you a favor when...
Which is the opposite of Europe.
Yeah, completely
the
opposite.
If you had to put it in a nutshell, that's the opposite. In Europe, they're like, oh my God, you made it here. That's amazing. That's so awesome that you made it here.
Look who it is.
Hey!
Hey!
Shazad! Shazad! Speakerphone!
Are we... Okay.
Shazad's in the park.
Shazad, you're on the speakerphone.
Speakerphone!
We're doing an interview right now. So,
hi Shazad.
Hi Shazad.
Hello, this is George
Chen. Hello Dominic. Hello Tara. Hello Carla. I couldn't recognize the voice.
George Chen.
George.
George Chen is here. Mike is here.
Wait.
You're so on the radio right now. You're on like the major label radio, whatever they call that stuff.
You're on KMEL.
You're big time right now.
So happy to be on the radio. Shout out to my mom, bro.
Happy Mother's Father's Day, Mom.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day, Mom. Shout out.
Shout out. Talk some Turkish for us.
I'll have some Turkish friends.
No fucking shit, you have Turkish friends. Talk some Turkish. You took Turkish language class.
Yo. This is shout out to Turkish friends all over the world.
Are you gay? Would you please talk some Turkish?
Speak in Turkey.
Hey, teşekkürler, yo, teşekkürler them, everybody. And, Turkish in the house.
All right, screw it. Talk Pakistani.
So, look, I'm not kushy ho.
He's just making stuff up.
All right, talk Icelandic.
Okay.
Apologies to our Turkish and
Pakistan.
Okay, we're coming in.
What'd you say?
Hopelandic? You know Hopelandic?
What are you recording right now?
Bro, I just came from recording some improvising with Colin Stetson and Sarah Neufeld.
Oh.
Way up in Vermont.
Colin Stetson is a label man of ours.
Constance is a constellation.
Constellation.
Did you go record at that guy Kevin McMahon's house?
No, we recorded in the middle of the fucking woods in some fucking bucolic asshole paradise.
Oh, that's stupid, man.
That sounds lame.
That fucking
fuck.
Shit always sounds good, and then it sucks.
Seriously, some sort of cunt ass halcyon up there.
Cunt ass halcyon. Ha.
Yay!
Vermont is an ugly state. Never go to Vermont.
Oh, man, it's hard out here for a pimp. Fuck those trees.
Trees and mountains and sky balls.
Oh, brother, another castle.
Okay. Oh, great. No billboards. No billboard law.
And no billboard law. Signage regulation. Shazad, what are you...
Oh, great. No advertising. Great.
I'm going to ask you a serious question. I'm not bullshitting.
I'm ready.
Really, really, really serious.
Fire.
Hakan and Aylan?
What?
You know Hakan and Aylan in Turkey. You know them.
Yes.
They are good friends of yours.
Yes.
All right, we've got that. They wrote to me, and probably you, even though you don't, you might not have seen it.
Yeah.
That they need people from the United States to comment about what's going on from our point of view in Turkey. And I was wondering if you could just say a couple of sentences. Mine are going to be really different than yours, so it would be good to have both.
Okay. Ready.
Ready. Serious. I'm serious, okay?
Okay, let me take just a moment to think, because I don't know a lot about the situation, sadly, but let me think about what I can say.
Me neither. It's hard.
Okay. So, maybe the value of music is okay. Maybe there's some value in music. Because I read recently about a guy that rolled into Taksim Square with a grand piano. It was himself and two friends that helped move it into the middle of Taksim Square, and then he just proceeded to play probably some classical pieces. I don't know exactly what his repertoire was. And everyone sat down and started hanging out with each other, including cops in really intense riot shields, put the shields down, and there was a lot of just talking and eating and quiet time. And I was really touched by that. I don't really believe in the power of music, because I just do it for myself most of the time. But I was really touched by that.
That is very moving.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Should I go for a take two?
No.
With an alternate amount of alternate information?
Yeah, of course.
So from what I can tell, the demonstrations in Taksim Square started with a disagreement about how to use public space. Apparently the government or maybe a private investor was going to use the public space and turn it into some money-making capitalist bullshit, like some other expensive hotel or something like that. And they were going to cut down significant markers of public space. I think some of the trees there or like a local park. And coming from New York City, and maybe the United States in particular, but I mean New York City in particular, maybe the United States in general, public space is extremely important. And when you see that there's not that much of it in New York compared to the population, you notice that people don't congregate, they don't get to know one another, they don't get a sense of local community. And I think it's important that they were demonstrating, and what's hard to watch from this vantage point is how harsh the government has cracked down on them. It's a very, very difficult and sad situation from over here.
Right. The thing that's weird from over here is that we can't see that area, which is really overdeveloped with westernized business. So it's like they're talking about cutting down a small park and putting, like, what, more McDonald's that are the largest McDonald's I've ever seen in the world? Like, I've never seen McDonald's that big, except maybe in Times Square. More H&M? Like, more Boots? More what? You know what I mean? Like, more Zara? More Zara stores? Like, really? Like, you know, I mean, it's totally already... I think the problem for some people there is that all you have to do is walk two blocks and you're on the hugest shopping street in, like, you know, hundreds of kilometers. So it's a bit of a weird idea, you know, and I can understand people being like, this is all Western stores. They're all, you know, doing this stuff. So it's hard. I think it's hard for people from here to kind of get the fact that the culture is getting really diffused and really fucked up. It's a little hard from here to think, oh, a park, you know, like it's not just a park. It's Taksim Square, it's fishermen, it's like all kinds of stuff that's been there for way longer than our country has existed. Don't you agree?
I do agree. I do agree. I mean, I've been over there. Probably everybody, maybe in this room, has been over there at some point. And Istiqlal Avenue or street or whatever it's called is extremely commercial and extremely Western, which is bizarre for that to be in that country and see that. And I totally agree 100%.
Yeah, it's weird. I just hope that dude with, like, all those really weird, like, hundreds of years old traditional clothing is still down there on that music street. Anyway.
I doubt they're touching what's down near Galata Tower, but that would be really sad if that was the case.
Well, anyways, anything else you got for us? Like jokes?
yuck.
I have a joke that I've been made up, but it never seemed to go very well.
This is a perfect place for it.
You got it.
Okay. Let me get to a quiet place, because right now I'm at an ATM machine at Bank of America. So let me just work a bit better than that.
The other thing, Shahzad, is tell us every project that you've done lately that you're super proud of, but in 25 seconds.
Okay, Joanna Borchert, she's a songwriter and improvising pianist from Berlin. I just did a recording, I produced and played on a recording with her and Fred Frith.
Your time's up.
Really good. finally, Gita Valtestadter, who is Icelandic and sang and played cello in the band Mum, I finally encouraged her and produced a 7-inch of hers, which is 2-track cello voice. Super, super good. I'm a little bit less depressed than I was last week and last month, so that's a huge achievement.
Nice.
That's all I can say right now, although there's more.
Did you want to tell the bad joke before we hang up?
Yeah. Let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, is this why you called?
Okay, so two mice walk into a bar. The third mouse is still outside the bar. And the two mice kind of hobble up to, because one of them broke its leg recently, hobble up onto the stool. They get really up near the top, up really near the bar. And then one mouse leans, just peeks its little head over the bar and...
And now there's a contest. Email me on Twitter. Twitter, just like let us know the end of that joke. Just hashtag that joke.
That was it. That was the joke.
That was the joke. That was a pretty good joke.
So, are all of your phone calls like that with him?
They always end that way, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, why was he calling? We don't know.
You guys, there's so much gear in this room.
They just don't do the fade this
way
anymore.
Do you guys write stuff in here?
I've written some of my stuff for Evangelista here. But we haven't actually done any recording here. We did.
Dominic joining the band.
Oh, Natara, yeah.
We recorded little bits of parts for songs.
This is a very less elaborate story.
This is where we do post.
This is a cool story, actually, because it was a situation where the story of Dom
joining the band.
But this is a cool story, just to add a little. I like this story because Tara was, like, so convincing about Dominic that I had never heard him play, not one single note. And I was like, fuck it, let's go for it then.
and it worked.
And let's meet at a really... super giant chain of over expensive.
I don't remember this.
It was Whole Foods that we met.
I don't remember this at all.
We had Whole Foods
and bonded over a brownie.
Yeah.
Cute.
We went for a little walk outside Whole Foods.
Yeah. And we kind of liked each other.
Yeah, it was okay.
I guess we're friends.
No, but I was playing with a group called Modular Set that's no longer around, and Tara,
I played you a little bit.
Yeah.
And I played a show with you guys.
Yeah. But then I saw some YouTube of some of the earlier shows, and I really
like, fuck this shit.
Thought it was a moneymaker. No, but I really loved it, and I felt like I understood what was happening. And
I thought you'd have a lot to contribute, and you do.
Yeah, and I'm still here.
You're right.
Yeah, in his soul guts.
Yes, he's got soul guts.
I'm still here.
Boy's got soul guts.
And I like it here.
But, and you got your solo projects, and you got other stuff that you do.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff.
I have lots of stuffs.
Are super talented.
Thank you.
I'm not complimenting you. You don't have to thank me. I don't do that. I don't do that.
I know.
Okay. She's just saying facts.
I'm just saying facts.
Thank you.
You are mind-blowing. And that I need to try to fucking, like, whack your asses, like, your other thing and your this thing. Somehow I just need to, like, smush you with Elmer's glue into each other so you're having a swirling chocolate cake full of glue and frosting.
Yeah, whatever that was.
No, I kind of mean...
what she said.
Yeah. That'd be nice. It'd be easier for me if I could figure that out. I feel it's a lot of bits.
It's a your conceptual glue cake.
I have a lot of different conceptual things happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
And you have a lot to do on stage. But the thing also is, like, with the music that you do, which would be awesome if you played one of his pieces when you had this together. Like, there's some of Borfeltane stuff that I'm just so excited about.
Like this track
and
now?
And also, you should... and, yeah, like this track now. And you should also play, like, maybe a Business Lady song.
Yeah.
It was partly cloudy, temperature 60, dew point 53, relative humidity 77%. Wind north. Wind north 14.
Remain being strong. In the afternoon.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Context, yeah. You know, context, or even Duchess's.
I listened to that on a road trip the other day. Yeah.
But
the Beals.
Maybe we should mention a thing about Janot. I mean,
yeah. What's
Janot's got like some solo stuff too.
How do you guys?
He plays with a lot of different
like
groups.
Janot's like a floaty, weird personality that is in the band, and he says, "I'm in the band," and he throws down when we tour,
and then suddenly he's really in across the other side of the globe.
Yeah, but whatever. But he's.
But then he comes back.
Always, how did you guys hook up with him?
He doesn't miss gigs with us,
right?
Has he ever missed a gig
with
us? No.
Okay, so he's in the band.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is that he's like this weird sort of like, he's just not like a lot of other people. He lives a nomadic lifestyle. So do I. So that's kind of like we match up. Okay. The thing about
Did you guys meet on Match.com?
Nomadic Match.com.
Are you a nomad looking for another nomad?
Are you homeless, but not really?
But you're intelligent. You choose to be homeless.
Are you super into cat sitting?
I am on that website. That's my new.com idea.
Do you prefer to sublet than rent?
Yeah, it's true.
Airbnb for cats.
The thing about Juneau that's killer is that we haven't really been able to afford to have like a full band. And between Dominic and Juneau, they've been covering like so
all much instruments,
like drums and you know, like
everything except guitar and bass,
loops and like organs and pianos and like, you know, like percussive instruments that
samples.
Are electronic, and then like just all this fucking shit, and it's really quite asking a lot of people. So in a way, we got Dom, we got Tara, we got me. I think we're the core, maybe the core
at the moment,
and the Muppet,
John,
but
pretty much,
and the Muppet, but
and the Muppet.
Then you got John, who's like, actually, even though he's like super floaty off into thing, you got to kind of like look at the record, and he's been there for every gig, and he's done everything we've asked him to do, everything. Yeah. Whereas, and he plays the viola. That's the other thing, and he plays all kinds of viola, like loud as fuck, super quiet, whatever. So the thing, I don't know, the thing about him that's so interesting is that being involved with him on different levels, I don't know. Like, you ask me anything question about him, and unless it has to do with the past, I don't know the answer. But all I could tell you is that it seems to me that he keeps showing up. And he's really good. So yeah. It's like, it's very nifty, you know? And we have some tour plans planned for October and November. Yeah. And he's like, you know, booked for those. It's a project that hopefully will morph every time we play. Yeah. I don't want people to come to the gig and go like, that was cool. It was so much like the last time I saw them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I just feel like we can do better than that. And so why do that? You know.
And these local shows we're playing, we're programming a special kind of a show that.
Oh yeah,
Carl
yeah.
is curating.
Who's on the bills?
It's a secret.
You know, it's going to be really.
Yeah,
good.
It's not going to be.
We're going to announce it.
No, it's going to be. We're originating something that it seems like. Honestly, I'm sorry to say it because I'm not trying to bag on the Bay Area.
Oh,
but,
bag away, oh, bag away.
But
we're taking intake.
Yeah.
I kind of like picked the Bay Area out, literally out of the United States, like to come to because I thought the Bay Area would be easier to put on a multimedia, like cabaret style, just bitchin' ass thing where people could come and be like, whoa, that's fun. Whoa, that's totally different fun. Whoa, that's weird. Whoa, Evangelista. And then be like, wee, dance party.
It is like
so
a cruise.
It's like a what?
It's
cruise.
Like a cruise, yeah.
We're programming our cruise.
It's not, there probably won't be another band, but there will be something.
There's some.
There will be a performer.
It's more like a variety.
Yeah, there will be a performer where you're like, wow, what the fuck? That's neat. That's a cool thing they're doing, like, with their body
dogs.
And their instrument, and maybe, like, homemade instruments, whatever, and just, like, something fun.
And film,
and,
maybe?
Yeah, and definitely film's going to be involved, like, just incorporating film and just, like, making it really fun, like, trying to decorate a little bit and making it be something that's where somebody throws down the $10 and they're like, I would have paid 20 for that. That was awesome. That was better than the five last shows I saw.
And where are you doing this?
July 17th.
At the Nightlight.
At the Nightlight.
Which is like a
Jack
place
London
that
Square,
a lot of people
yeah.
haven't gone to. So we're kind of like trying, we're a little nervous about getting the word out on that one. Like it's not
it's kind of a new
where
venue,
tons
yeah.
of people go. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get the word on that one out and really make it, we really want it to be special. This situation is like, it's a little hard to explain. We don't do the United States. We're not coming to San Francisco of all cities in the whole United States to like make money. Nothing like that. It's nothing like
yes.
that. We're not going to get bigger in the United States. We're going to be who we are. We're going to Europe to do all that business shit and have a good time.
Yeah.
Here, all we want to do is just blast off and have a total great experience. And we want everybody in the room, all the staff, all the audience, everybody to just be like, woo, or, you know, or be like really dark when Evangelist is playing, whatever it is. And so, yeah, we're not here to promote ourselves, nothing like that. So we just want to make sure that we get people out to the gigs so that they can experience this thing. We want to do it with people. We want people to like kind of like get in the spirit.
You have this other thing you've been doing for a couple years, the Eyes for Ears.
That project is, to just make it super short, the description, because it's not, is basically I'll go somewhere where I find the, first of all, that there needs to be funding enough to do it right. I'll go somewhere where I find the architecture to be intriguing and slightly complex, because there has to be different places for different things to happen. And then I will sit down with the architecture very quietly, and I will try to listen and listen to a story or a dream, and I will try to bring that story or dream to life. I try very hard not to pick the artists or the musicians before listening to the building itself and the grounds and the maybe the ocean, whatever's around it, you know. And I try super hard not to think like of a person like, oh, maybe this person could do that. First I want to hear an idea that's a story that's going to unfold, and then I want to consider who can help me tell that story the best. I try actually to sort of like, I mean, I know it's bullshit, but I try to keep myself out of it.
Okay.
Like, I try to listen. I just, that's the beginning of it. I just try to clear my mind and listen. Mm-hmm. I know that's crap and whatever.
No.
We can all be like, oh, yeah, Mr. Mystery is talking. But, you know, that is what I try to do. I try to just clear my mind and know as much as I can about the history of the place and about the architecture.
Right.
First, I get armed with that, and then I just try to shut the fuck up and listen. So that's what it is, you know. And it's not the same as what we're doing, but I get what you mean by the similarities. Yeah.
And then the first time you did it at the Schindler House in L.A. Is that right? Or
I forget if it was the Schindler House or the train station, mm-hmm. but one of those.
And then you did it in Austria, right? It was the last time.
Yeah, and that was a biggie.
Mm-hmm. What was the venue like for that?
It was a cathedral, and wow. It was really insane. It was insanely lit. It was just, you know, everything.
It's a lot of prep work for that, right?
Everything was set up for it to be special, and it really was special. There was people from Godspeed Black Emperor playing, and not that that should matter, because that's another point I'm trying to make, is like, it shouldn't have to have famous people in it to mm-hmm. be like... Mm-hmm.
Well,
work,
you also
to be working.
You know them personally. It's not like you're like, oh, I want to make a splash.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it helps the promoters though. So right, if you go like, I don't know what you would say. I mean, Lou Reed's doing a reading in the blah blah blah. The mm-hmm. promoters are going to be like more interested. But that's not my. That's not that to me. Is me reading into the concept rather than the concept speaking to me. So I don't like that. I've realized that it needs to be a festival in order to pay people, just in order to afford to pay the people working on it. It has to be a thing where they get to play their own performance, they get to do their own music, they get paid for it separately, and then, you know, then we all get together and we do this Eyes for Ears thing. And I think it could kick ass. Okay. And in that situation, the promoters are interested in bringing some people that they want to be at the, that they want to have at their venue.
Yeah.
And then see if, like, right. maybe we can bring them together. And so I'm open to that. Like, I'm an open person. Like, I like the idea of just being... Sometimes people will be with me and they'll be like, what if you do the exact opposite of your idea? And they expect me to be like, fuck you, you stupid dick. But I'll be like, huh, that's an idea, you know? Because that's life, you know? I mean, and so sometimes promoters will say, well, you know, I have this guy or this guy when I wanted to bring, and maybe there could be something we could mix up. And I'm open to it. I want to hear what they do. We should talk about Tara's art, because it's blowing up.
Visual
and
art?
And it's really becoming, like, yeah, super influential.
I feel like I haven't seen your visual art. Have I seen your visual
art?
We
should go in there.
We can go look, yeah, but we'll have to stop the tape.
The thing with Tara's art is that it's got a life of its own that's becoming massive, but also we've been able to use it a lot, and it really speaks, like, of sort of the message that we're getting across in a lot of ways. Not that it's, like...
It's not literal.
Yeah, it's not literal, but it really works together, and it's just very beautiful. So I think you've got somebody sitting here that you're going to, like, really hear from in the future. Like, I encourage the attention, you know, and just sort of, like, I always feel, yeah, happy when I meet an artist that's burgeoning. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled that it's you who I love.
And like, in terms of the album art, you guys were commenting earlier, the painter who did the last album Jesse. Cover.
Last two.
Jesse McCloskey. We used his painting, his gigantic elaborate paintings for our two last album covers.
Yeah.
Then was it Nadia did the other one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nadia. Who's,
Nadia Moss.
You've played with her. She's been in your band.
Town,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Doing
Don't
what?
Make me make sad face.
No,
sad
that was a conflict that she okay. was. Well, we
she
won't
was
talk
supposed
about
to
it.
Play with us, but things got mangled.
Yeah.
But okay, so we will look at your paintings and stuff.
Drawings.
There'll be a moment.
I'm sorry.
Of
no, I'm going to look at your paintings. I'm sorry.
Only,
not going to look at your drawings.
Only your
no.
paintings.
So, Tara, do you have a website of stuff?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Period.
That's why you got to come over to Huffin' House and knock on the door.
Go to Tara's room.
Come and knock on our door.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
Painting, drawings waiting for you. Yeah, so come over, check out. There's a lot of art that happens here at the Huffin' House. You guys,
yeah,
you want to? I mean, I haven't really talked about the Huffin' House. It's pretty amazing. It's been around here for like almost 10 years now.
Yeah,
and,
it's got a long
Aaron
legacy.
Allen,
Last
Hightastle.
Time Tara had a party here, she was like, it was cool. We only cleaned up two throw-ups.
Oh, my God. Was that a New Year's party? Oh, no, I was here for the play. The play was great.
Play.
Did someone puke at the play?
No.
If it was a party, it might have been more like four throw-ups.
Yeah.
That's the most pukey play I've been to, though. You guys are going to do a big tour yeah. when
I'm,
this record's out anyway?
I'm going to
before,
South America with another project.
Oh, yeah.
Know, this is me bragging.
Yeah, tell us about that. What is that?
It's called The Talking Book. It's with Bill Gould
Bill
from
Gould,
Faith
Bill
No Gould, More.
Yeah.
Really
yeah,
awesome
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, I met him before. He's cool.
He's a really cool guy.
He runs a label.
He's like so
yeah.
cool that I forget he's actually... pretty these well he's in Faith No More
yeah
and
that sentence could be whatever
yeah well I mean that he you know
no,
he goes
to
South America
he used to be in Jello's
yeah
band.
No
he,
Bill he'll
about,
play so. They play for like 80,000 people and then we have a thing called The Talking Book that's me Jared Blum who I run my label with Agante
right.
Sound
what's his project called
he has a project called Blanket Ship
that's right
and
yeah.
Beak Splinth and a few other things mm-hmm. but this is the how they met is a really long story but basically they put out a record together on Bill's label Cool Arrow and brought me on last year to do a gig at the Great American and then I've just been sort of I'm a bit more in the band and writing but we went down to Chile last year and it was
nice.
Pretty rad and it's definitely not on the scale of Faith No More in any way shape or form it's more just kind of dronage
yeah.
experimental but
You're
with some melodic no
yeah.
there's melodic stuff in there it's all broken and weird
yeah.
Those guys have it on repeat. They keep telling me how much they like it.
You know, I'm kind of into audiobooks.
Embarrassing. Audiobooks?
I've been into audiobooks.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's just, we're
like
going to, we get on stage and we talk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's,
do you read?
Oh, like
do you read the Great Gatsby?
Yeah,
theater.
We read the Great Gatsby. We each get a character
oh, okay. well,
and now we're going to go, now we're going to go
right,
in the bedroom. But anyway,
that's
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I'm used to that. I'm used to the uneven number. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a little break.
So enough of that. Or let's maybe, go to the room.
Yeah. And then
bedroom!
Yeah, I think I had seen some of the designs that they made onto some of the merchandise, but I didn't realize how much of that you were doing. Pencil drawing spheres and a lot of animals.
Animal bits. Mostly not the whole animal, though.
Are you vegan?
No, I'm vegetarian.
Okay, okay. I thought you were vegetarian, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, I don't know if that's a connection. I just thought of animal bits and then
that
made me think
of... weird.
Animal bits makes me ask if someone's a vegetarian. That's just where my brain goes.
Well, they're not necessarily dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They seem like hybridized with other things. And then, and you went to school, you were at San Diego.
Yeah, I didn't ever used to draw, though.
What were you doing when you were in school?
I was doing, like, film and sound editing and video editing and, like, mostly focusing on the process of editing and, like, what sound editing can do to film and video.
Mm-hmm.
And I started drawing on tour so that strangers wouldn't talk to me.
That's not one of the tougher defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
They just say, like, what are you drawing there?
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, but, I mean, it has happened once. And
Do you hate talking to new people?
I don't hate it, really, but it's nerve-wracking.
So, like, do you, like, kind of anxiety?
It's kind of stressful. I have a producing. Little bit of anxiety, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of... I remember being on that tour we're talking about, like, when we got to, like, Ohio. It was, like, Shushu, us, and Prurient, and, like, Dom just turning to me and being like, you'll just talk to anybody, huh? Because, like, the weirdest people just come up to the merch table, want to ask you some weird question.
Yeah. You're and really, I try you're to really turn good it at into, in, like, engaging thing. People and or deflecting them. Which is good to have
both.
As a tour mate.
Both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like the kitty pride of conversation. Like, you can pass through me, or I can go through it. Yeah. I didn't mean to compare myself to kitty pride in that way.
I was waiting for that.
The rapper, not the comic character. What's the most uncomfortable stranger coming up and trying to talk to you on a tour?
Sorry. A guy in Brazil who was trying really hard to communicate and ended up saying in broken English, you, me, sex.
I think he had no problem communicating. I think that, he just sort of stripped the niceties away around.
Like, that gets it there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
And who was the?
Sure.
Didn't you punch a guy?
Even though in Brazil,
I punched a guy at a festival.
You were staying with Nadia.
I was standing. It was me and Nadia were standing. It was in Austria, and this really, really drunk guy kept getting up in our grill, trying to dance with us. And we're like, no, we're just kind of like watching the band, not a band that you would dance to. It was.
So were you guys both got punched? Or is this a different story?
No, it's a different story. It's a different punching story. And because it was like a prog rock band,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't like dance music or anything. So we're like, dude, just get away. And he kept like coming up to us, and then he started touching. And I was like, no, there's no touching. And I like smacked him like a cat smacks a dog in the face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that. I didn't really punch him.
Yeah.
I was gentle, but he needed to be
better.
Surprised.
Yeah.
He needed to be woken up.
Sometimes the dog is surprised by the cat. That's not...
It's but like, quit sniffing my ass.
Where did you guys get punched? Like, Italy or something?
France?
You're...
It was literally a crew of hooligans.
They're just like, it was
like
no engagement.
Out looking for a fight and mm-hmm. saw easy target. Small woman with guitar wrapped around her neck. Mm-hmm. Like... with cables and everything, and guys carrying camera equipment. And,
guys carrying heavy cameras that didn't do anything to defend the people that
true.
Were defenseless and
were
wrapped up in their cables.
Is it some documentary?
Yeah, it's a couple of documentary people.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Put down the camera and help me. That's the
or like
or
you
throw
gotta,
the camera at the
just
dude.
Just hit the dude in the head with your. I mean, admittedly,
or throw
really
the guitar.
Expensive camera.
I just
you get
don't
guitar
think
to be a weapon.
The guy. fathom
what was happening.
Breaking a $2,000 guitar to save my face.
Yeah.
You know, it's guitar fast. Or it all goes down really fast. Yeah. And I just think he made the wrong choice.
Just some thugs, some French thugs.
It was really out of hand. It was like totally arbitrary and out of hand.
You get an ER and that's all?
We should have.
Because in Europe, it's fine. It's covered, right? No. Oh, really?
Yeah. We should have, because Carla had a concussion and a broken cheekbone.
Oh, my God.
And we decided in all our, like, practical wiseness to continue to finish the tour.
Man, a fucking broken cheekbone. That's, you can't put a cast or do anything.
And that was, and it was a serious concussion, too. Like, you were thrown up for a while and...
Man, I was with you when a lot of bad shit has happened, actually, in Europe, huh? Because I I was in Berlin that time.
Yeah, we had a backpack stolen with computer in it, and
like which was half my fault, but still.
But yeah, like, but it had unreleased recordings.
Yeah, and writings, like a lot of writings and stuff.
I feel like storage is a major issue. For a lot touring. Of people. I think the cloud is going to help you guys. The cloud. I believe in it.
Yeah.
Just back it up in the cloud. Yeah. Let Google, cloud. Let the NSA look at all of it.
Trust us. We were at the same time as this was happening trying to negotiate like logistical things with our label and proofread insert for the CD that like And remember who played on what.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
That sounds...
Not that there's ever a good time to be concussed, but that's
right.
One of the...
It was hard.
And, like, sometimes recording for you guys is, like, a real long process because you are spread apart geographically.
Yeah, and it's done over, several weeks.
In lots of different... venues,
but you'll go. Will you go into a studio to track drums, or how does
if we
it's been
can.
Different every? It's mm-hmm. different all the time. Mm-hmm. It's whatever.
What do you prefer if you had your druthers
in a studio? I think, if, especially drums.
Studio all at once, like
all at once,
all
like
all together. Yeah. I mean, tracking separately, but you know,
I do think like some studios are kind of coming back, which is weird because I feel like labels aren't really doing better, but then there's more. Aspirational bands or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really done it as much, but well, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of controversy is the wrong word, but about using Kickstarter to fund your record.
Yeah.
Whatever, probably don't need to get into that, but I don't know. I mean, without labels.
Part of being on your label, part of the appeal of being on your label is that they have a studio.
Yeah.
Well, we still have to pay.
You still have to pay to get out there and spend time there.
But they have
to pay for the studio.
Oh, yeah. My friend is like paid for like studio time there to do stuff.
And it's a great, it really is an awesome studio.
And then,
awesome
and for them to engineer
and,
it.
And they are awesome engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one thing that we encountered that we weren't expecting was recording in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
That whole crew of people are really into the idea of tracking all together at the same time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And having like room mics in there, which is really different.
Because they do
from
a bunch of
string
stuff all the time, right? So if you're gonna do a bunch of string stuff, that makes sense.
It makes sense to have the string players in a room together, and then like the other instruments somewhere else. Or,
you don't want to have like a rock band and strings in the same room.
But that's how they do it.
Oh, they do it like that.
So was it hard to like? Was it hard to kind of get?
It was change their mindset. Definitely, it was a shift for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind learn of all how to do things that way. Is that why they're entrenched in? Is like that's just the
that's
way
how they
up.
That's just how they've been doing that music, and it works for them because they're
almost like Discord.
For lack of a better
like,
word, they're kind of hippies.
Yeah,
about it.
Or like I was gonna say, like almost the same mentality with like Discord, where they only documented DC bands, and they were you guys are the first non-Montreal band, right?
Yeah, and probably the first band that wanted to track each instrument separately.
Yeah, so like they just had a way of operating in that world.
Yeah, and I think they also. They'll record and mix, but they don't do a lot after the fact, whereas...
Mm-hmm. Right, and we're all about doing stuff after the fact.
And generally, it's a lot of Carla doing a lot of the mixing and recontextualizing sounds and all kinds... It's a lot of hands-on, like a ton of hands-on work, and if if there's a ton of bleed, which has happened a couple times, it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm. You just can't do it the same way.
You just can't, because if you raise the guitar, you're raising
everything else.
Yeah, because the guitar's on all the mics, and it's then just, you go in a circle. Nightmare.
But like, do you guys feel like you're on the track of like it's about an album every like year and a half or 2 years? Does that seem like
I haven't even tried
do you have
to,
like
to
kind of like
track.
A pat a rhythm of that? Or?
It seemed to be, although this it's a bit off at the moment.
If we go longer than a year, it feels like something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If we haven't done anything,
yeah, this one will be because generally it seems like. We'll
like, you've had stuff that you've just thrown away that you're just like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, you're like, start
well, we,
over again.
We hang on to stuff that we've recorded and not released.
I didn't quite understand. There is an album that is not an Evangelist album, right?
Yeah, there's a Carla solo album.
There's a Carla solo album. And what is, does that have a name, or is that...
Doesn't have a name yet.
Mm-hmm. And...
But is coming out, should be coming out on Constellation.
Yeah, but I would bet that it probably won't be until towards the end of the year, which in a way is kind of a drag because that means the Evangelist album won't be coming out till next year, which I'm kind of bummed about. Like, I'd actually rather do a new Evangelist album than do a solo album. Just because I feel really, really excited about Evangelista right now. And, you know, what can you do, though? It's kind of...
You can't switch the order around and just...
No, it kind of is what it is. They want me to... They want me to do something different. And they feel like it's important for them, for their catalog. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel like that it'll be... It'll just make Evangelista stronger for me to
have a solo record.
Yeah,
but you guys are involved in that record at all, or you play on that record at all?
No,
it's pretty distinct.
Dom
I play
plays
a little
a
bit,
a couple little parts,
a little bit.
We've played. I mean, not that we wouldn't play play those songs like live, though.
Mm-hmm,
we wouldn't rule
that
out.
But I think it was very intentional that they didn't want like. Montreal people on there, they didn't really want it to be a different type of sound, and it is really different. It's I'd say one of the main differences, it's a lot more focused, if that's the right word, than our records tend to cover a lot of different ground, different styles, not in like a this is rock, this is pop, this is country, but they all have different intensities, whereas this one is a lot more poppier? Is that
I would say there's some song, like three songs are really poppy, you know, and then there's like,
but that's our definition of poppy, which is
but
different
it,
from
the
world.
Of it is more it's cohesive in a different kind of a way, so it's definitely different.
Yeah.
We have a thing coming out with Ovo, right?
Oh, gosh.
Gonna be on their
I love
record.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Super neat.
Oh, they're so good. Do you know about Ovo?
Yeah.
On
our last tour, we stopped
at a pig farm.
They
live in Berlin now, right? They live in Berlin? Oh, I thought they were for a while.
Well,
they moved back.
Oh, okay.
They moved
but
back
it was
to
this
Italy.
Crazy, like, really great studio in literally on a pig farm. Like, it was disgusting. But the studio was... just awesome, like lots of great vintage gear, and we just
lots of good instruments.
Yeah, we went
in
out
there,
to dinner
grand piano.
And went into the studio and just winged it basically, and did the same thing a couple times, and that was it.
Did like three or four takes.
Yeah,
of this idea that we developed into a song with them.
That Bruno,
I think it was literally
Bruno
two,
from
two
Ovo.
Takes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Maybe yeah.
Three.
And
at
it
the most.
And it really was. It was pretty. The whole thing was just sublime.
The first take.
It was really fun.
And actually, I think they used the first take as the final. They're very interesting, talented weirdos.
But so you've got a couple things. Are you gonna play the new material at these shows at the Nightlight and the Hemlock? Is there gonna be new material?
Oh hell yeah!
Yes, there'll be brand new things never heard before.
Two totally different.
Maybe a cello
sets.
Player. We're not sure yet.
Yeah.
Looks like it.
Yeah. Carl, is there anything in your Wikipedia entry that you want to correct on the record right now?
On the record.
Everything's right.
Everything's wrong.
Okay.
Everything's right, except for the two photographs of Tara and me. On
Wikipedia,
on Wikipedia
are some of not only some of the ugliest pictures I've ever seen of us, but they
correct that.
But they are photos of us rehearsing. They're not Evangelista photos. They're photos of us rehearsing to open for who is it?
Liberace.
No, Liberace's dead. No, they're just photos of us
we're not promo photos.
They're not promo photos from Evangelista. They're photos for us. Actually, we're.
Are you putting on
what
makeup?
What we're doing is like doing like a boss ad.
Oh, you
like
did a boss ad.
Just trying to do like a promo.
Get sponsorship
campaign
from boss.
For boss.
Yeah.
And those are the pictures, not even of the photo shoot. For boss, but they're the pictures
behind the scenes. They're
the behind just, the scenes.
All
of the photo
we're doing,
shoot.
All we're doing,
it's before
is,
hair and makeup or anything like
yeah,
that.
All we're doing is checking our loop stations.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's I don't really understand why they're on there.
I don't know if we can correct that on Wikipedia.
Scared to look.
But Wikipedia, if anyone is a Wikipedia editor, just find a more more attractive photo of
find
Carla
a photo.
Carla,
you're not allowed to do that. You can't take your picture off of it. It's weird.
Oh, you want to plug?
I remember on that tour. Also, David Horvitz put on Wikipedia that I was a member of Shushu, and then someone else corrected it.
Outrage.
Wrong Chen. Right, wrong Chen. So there is going to be a Carla solo album, unnamed, hopefully by the end of the year, on Constellation.
Yes.
There will be Evangelista record shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Constellation.
Truly.
Some touring in the fall.
Where yes. we will
October,
play
November.
New material, so yeah. That's exciting.
And we'll be playing new material at these local gigs.
These two local gigs. July 19th.
No, really, let's say it 10 times, different ways.
July 19th at the Nightlight.
And it's going to be, oh, I wrote
a bunch of weirdos.
Wait, it's going to be a bunch of weirdos, like maybe, for example, Carla Lugo, who does,
we didn't even ask her yet.
We haven't asked her yet.
She's an excellent singer.
Carla, we're going to send you this podcast. Yeah. You're being asked right now.
We love you.
Zeke Sheck.
We love you.
Zeke Sheck. We also haven't talked to.
Accordion bounces on a ball while she plays accordion, sings.
Are you kind of getting an idea, like, this is going to be different. This thing's going to be different than what you normally do.
There's bitch bounces on a ball while she plays accordion. And
this ain't your dad's rock and roll.
There's going to be stuff
your
that happens with
ball. This ain't John Fogerty.
There's
going to
be stuff that happens with cake.
There's going to be cake, and it's somebody's birthday on both nights.
And there's a film thing. And
there's films playing in our heads.
And you're going to get scarred, but you'll get a hug. It'll be okay.
Plus, different things. And then on the at the Hemlock.
Crabs! Hemlock Clock.
August 17th.
Clock dancing.
August 17th.
Yeah.
In the Tenderloin.
Three. August 17th.
At the world famous Hemlock
Clock.
Psychedelic Hemlock Tavern.
August 7th. And it's going to be a weird show, seriously.
Weird.
I promise. It's not going to be some dumb rockabilly band.
Not going to be a garage rock.
Just because
band.
We think, won't they draw an audience that we would never draw?
We promise
be
no
so
dumb
cool.
rockabilly
Let's
bands.
Get a bunch of people that don't like the same things together in the same
room.
It's a really small club with no backstage and all the gears piled
There's
on top of
it. If you want to hang out with some chairs and towels, and you know, a sink the size of your laptop.
You don't want your freaking deli platter.
They don't have a... No.
Can we end it right there?
Yeah. We don't need no stinking deli
platter.
We don't
need your stinking deli platter.
Thanks, Europe. Thanks, which... Turkey. Thanks, Axl Rose.
You think
thanks,
I won't
Evangelista.
Cut you?
Good luck, Turkey. We love you.
Thanks, Shahzad, for calling in.
Shout out to Shahzad.
Shout out to Shahzad for the call-in.
First ever call-in on this show.
Yes.